Deadheads, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is Sharing Our Pairings, episode 94, Who Let the Dog Stout? I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon, broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network, and of course heard on CigarFederation.com and YouTube. And if you're listening by podcast, thanks for tuning in. Today we're going to be doing some stout pairing. I'm here with my co-host, Trippy Trent. Trippy Trent,
hey, buddy.
What's going on tonight, brother?
Getting ready to drink some stouts. Can't wait.
Tis the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
If people can't tell, the frost coming out of my mouth is not me being a super cool vape bro or extra retrohaler. It is, in fact, super, super cold right now.
And it's quite cold here, but certainly not as cold as it is where you are. It's about 30, 31 here, I think.
Oh, man. It's short,
oh, 27. 27.
Still shirt and shorts weather.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that we can get through our high ABV beers here before they freeze, because I think they're high enough ABV that they don't freeze, but we'll find out.
One way to find out.
Sharing Our Pairings, of course, is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars, the greatest manufacturers of cigars in the world. The new Heritage Toro just named number 20 in Cigar Journal's top 25 of 2016. Ask your local B&M about that today. But that's not what we're smoking today. Smoking a little Epic. The Lepic Habano.
Oh, yeah.
You can see it through my super, super warm gloves. What are you smoking there?
Same thing.
Little robo action?
I believe so. I didn't have a chance to measure it, but I believe that it's the Robusto. It's kind of like a Robusto Extra, maybe 5 1/4 inches.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Because it's definitely like a 50 ring gauge.
Yes.
But slightly longer. Of course, it's going to burn a little wonky in this weather. You really shouldn't be smoking cigars in minus 8 degree
Fahrenheit. Bad idea.
Weather. That's crazy. Really, you should go into a warm environment. But we're not here to be sane on the show. We're here to do pairings because the show is all about beverage and cigar pairings. That's what we do.
Yeah.
A little bit about Epic. It's called the Epic Habano because, of course, it's got a Habano wrapper. It's the Ecuadorian Habano wrapper with Cameroon binder, which is kind of cool. Gives it that little nuttiness. Ooh. And some sweetness. Cameroon, of course, is tough as a wrapper because it tends to be a little bit thin and sometimes can crack, but great as a binder. And then it's got Dominican and Nicaraguan filler, and the MSRP on this bad boy is super reasonable. 7 bones.
So cheap.
So cheap.
That is very reasonable.
Very reasonable.
I can, now that you mention it, I can actually taste the Cameroon.
I love that. I mean, the joke, of course, on Sharing Our Pairings is Cameroon goes with everything. What I was hoping for, and I think we'll get into when the cigar kind of settles in, because it's not really, I find the Epic Habano isn't really spicy to begin with. It's kind of got some nuttiness, some creaminess, a little bit of maybe hay, some cedar, but no pepper, no spices really off the kick. And then it sort of builds up as time goes on. I think about the halfway point is when the spices will kick in. And you know, excuse me, we're talking about what would pair ideally with stouts. And I think, you know, we're looking for something with a little bit of spice. And this kind of fit the bill, I think.
Yeah, at least it will when that spice ramps up. I get a little bit of spice, but it's mostly on the retrohale. And that may be remnants from the cold I just had. It's hard to tell.
Whatever works, really. If,
yeah.
I mean, if you compare it with a good cold and get some extra spice, whatever. Whatever. So we might as well kick it off before my beers start freezing. I want to get them moving here. So I'm gonna kick it off first with something I bought a six-pack of. The Deschutes Obsidian Stout.
Oh, my neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's easy, right? I mean, I don't know if it is such a thing, but it's safe to say that it is safe. For as far as stouts go, you know,
like, oh yeah,
it's so many beers within Oregon have become such a mainstay throughout other areas that they're almost becoming typical, which is, you know, weird because Oregon was supposed to be sort of this funky, cool hipster place, and the beers are becoming so mainstream now.
Well, some of them are. There's plenty of weird, funky hipster beers around here, but that is one of the mainstays. I mean, Deschutes. I think, I don't know if they've already done it. Or if it's still in progress, but I know they're planning on opening a brewery somewhere on the East Coast,
nice.
So that they'll have better distribution.
Of course, the Chutes is located in Bend, Oregon. They were founded in 1988, and they started a small public house in downtown Bend, Oregon. Family and employee-owned brewery, which is kind of cool. Now, my beer is a little bit low on the ABV, 6.4%, and I can tell that because it's starting to freeze to the edge of the glass. That's how you tell. 55 IBUs in this, so it's going to have a little bit of hoppiness to it, and 220 calories, so doesn't really fit within my dietary plan for the day, but we'll see what we can do. I'm going to read off the malts because, of course, being a stout, it's got a bajillion malts, and that is a scientific term, by the way. Bajillion uses pale, crystal, carapils, Munich, black barley, roasted barley, and wheat. And then for hops, they actually have quite a few hops, more than I was expecting. Nugget, Bravo, Delta. Is this a military thing? Bravo, Delta? And then Northern Brewer. And they say Obsidian has distinct notes of espresso, chocolate, roasted malt, black barley with just enough hop bite to cut through the sweetness. And what's cool, and I think Robbie's talked about this in the past, they're not so keen on hiding things from their what would you say, viewers? The people that enjoy their
consumers.
Consumers, thank you. That's what I'm looking for. They actually have the recipe on their website, and you're thinking, okay, yeah, you know, cool, they get the recipe. No. They have the recipe right down to how long each particular portion of the recipe needs to take.
Hop additions and everything?
Hop additions and everything. So, you know, that's a lot of confidence in a brewer that can post that on their website. And they say they have a lot of respect for home brewers. So that's really cool. I'm going to, you can see this bad boy is definitely dark and black and very stoutish. And I'm kind of moving it around because it is freezing to the edge of the glass.
Yeah, so I got to keep it moving.
Got to keep it moving. So I'm going to take a puff, take a sip, and you can talk about your first pairing
tonight. All right. So I'm starting with something I've never had before. It's from a brewery that I wasn't familiar with until this week, called Pirate. They're a brewery called Santium Brewing. They are very, very small. They're down in, I think, Salem, Oregon. Let me just double check that. Yes, Salem, which is just about an hour and a half away from me. Their brewing system is 10 barrels.
That seems small.
That's very small. So that means that every batch of this they make, they can make 1,500 of these bottles. That
also seems small.
Yeah. So they're a really small brewery. This is the first time I've even seen their products around. And they have 15 taps, which is surprising for their capacity, in their tap room down in Salem. They also have 4 casks. Which of course is the cask aged ale that's isn't carbonated via CO2 in the keg tapping system. So anyway, this is Pirate. It's a rum aged coconut stout.
That sounds delicious.
Oh, I'm really excited to try it. An interesting thing on here is instead of showing how many ounces there are, you probably can't read that. But it says that this 22-ounce bottle is actually 4 2/5 noggins. I'm assuming
what's a noggin?
I'm not sure exactly, but I think that's a pirate term.
Yarr!
here it's got a nice black color, but it's actually, you can't tell in this kind of glass, but it's actually a little lighter than I expected it to be. Closer to maybe a porter.
Interesting.
And it's also kind of a thin, like a porter would be, compared to a stout, which is usually pretty viscous.
Well, interestingly enough, with the low ABV on this Deschutes, I was kind of expecting it to be enough. Cheated, I've had one already, but I didn't really examine the viscousness of it. But it is, even at 6.4%, it's got that nice thick quality that I expect with a stout. And that's a good way to put it, because I do enjoy porters, but and we've talked about this on the show before, there's a mouthfeel to porters that I just don't find quite as satisfying as stouts.
Yeah, I completely agree.
You know, it's not an astringency, it's a thinness, and you can really feel that on your tongue and your mouth. When you take a stout, I mean, I don't want to say it's gross like syrup, but it is significantly more thick and satisfying.
And kind of sticky in your mouth almost.
Yeah, kind of sticky and very, so you don't, I think maybe the byproduct of that is you tend not to guzzle it as much as you would a lighter beer or an ale. Just talking about this Deschutes Obsidian Stout, I do actually get a lot, and maybe it's the temperature, because normally you would not want to drink stouts, and talking about temperature, you would not really want to drink stouts in the weather that I'm drinking stouts. It's not ideal. You kind of want to drink stouts I've heard between sort of 38 degrees freedom and 47 degrees freedom, you and I typically drink my stouts a little warmer than that. Like I'm usually 40 degrees freedom plus, and I find that sort of maximizes the multi-character and all the different flavors that kind of come out of a beer. What are your thoughts on that, Tripp Trent?
I agree. It's definitely, excuse me, a mouthfeel issue for me with the porters. And with stouts, they seem to be more of a fall kind of drink than winter. I like something that's dark and hoppy for like the dead of winter when it's really cold like this, which actually this kind of fits the bill. This clocking in at 59 IBUs, it's a little more like a black IPA than a true stout.
I gotcha.
And I don't get as much rum character as I expected.
Now, I'm wondering if that rum character is being... How many IBUs did you say that bad boy was?
59. See, it's pretty high for a stout.
Yeah, it does seem kind of high. And I'm actually commenting, like, when you said black IPA, that's... This Obsidian Stout kind of does remind me a little bit of a black IPA because I do get a lot of that hoppiness up front, which, I mean, I got to say, not the best choice to pair with Habano. I don't think those flavors are complementary at all. I mean, they're contrasting in a kind of a funky, not really great way.
Yeah.
Because, my, you know, rather than sort of being left with the coffee and espresso post-taste, I was going to say post-draw, that's how much I've been smoking, but post-taste, I've got that hoppiness, and I'm not really going for that in my pairing.
Yeah, so coincidentally, I get the same thing with this beer. It's the hoppiness kind of cuts any sweetness from the cigar, and it just doesn't. You're not left with enough of that roasty stout kind of flavor. There's a little bit of it up front, but it doesn't sit on your palate. The hops are what you get on the finish.
There is definitely a very satisfying mouthfeel to the Obsidian Stout. It's got that exact... I mean, I could definitely go for thicker, but it's right in the stout category where it's got a nice, satisfying creaminess to it on the tongue and the cheeks. And then I take a puff of the cigar, and you're right. I do find on mine the hoppiness is running over the sweetness of the cigar a little bit. Again, I'm not really into the point where the cigar's got a lot of spiciness to it yet. And maybe I should have kicked it up a notch and gone with the Corojo, which I know that's the Corojo from Epic has got a little bit more spice to it, but kind of wanted to keep it in the Habano range, match strength for strength. So I'll just remind our audience here, they're tuned into Sharing Our Pairings episode 94, Who Let the Dog Stout? I know, terrible name, but after 94 episodes, it's tough to come up with a name. You're tuned into Sharing Our Pairings on CigarFederation.com. Of course, we're rebroadcasting the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks to all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners who are out there tuning in wherever you are in the world. Hope you're a little bit warmer than I am because she cold. I am cold. Bundled. You can just see the frost coming off my face. It cold. Of course, we're doing some pairings with Epic Cigars tonight and stouts. My mouth is already starting to freeze. No, it is not the stouts kicking in because sadly I've only had about 4 sips. My mouth is freezing. I'm going to take a couple more sips before we move on to our second one here because we got time.
Yeah, go ahead. Another interesting thing about this beer that I was just reading about that may explain some of the lightness of flavor and how bitter it is it says they act – and also the lack of rum flavor. Because it really – like most barrel-aged beers, you kind of get a hit with the barrel flavor first and then you taste the beer. And with this, there's not a lot of rum at all. And it says that they actually blend different rum barrels. So they'll age beer in several different rum barrels. Then they'll make a fresh batch of this coconut stout, and they'll mix in the barrel-aged beer with the stout. So I think that's why the rum flavor is really not as pronounced as I was expecting it to be.
That makes a lot of sense. I think the problem with rum barrels is it is so subtle. I mean, especially when you're talking about a stout, which has so much character to begin with. When you mix in rum is so subtle. I can see
it totally very
run over. So I'm going to great get into my second beer here.
All right.
This first pairing really didn't work for me. I love the Deschutes Obsidian Stout, but with this cigar, not a great pairing. So we'll move on to something that... You know, it's kind of hit and miss for me, which is Evil Twin Brewing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I love it, sometimes not so much. This is called the No Hero Stout. I don't know what that means. An alien-like outsider always flirting with oddity and exploring Anxiety and Paranoia, A Style Chameleon, A Wonderful Labyrinth, and Truly Transcendent Genius. This is just too much poetic for me. It's impossible not to idealize out of proportion. This is a stout. It may not be a hero, but it's attractive, clever, and hungry for stardom. Well, that's a great story. But I don't really care because I want to know how it tastes. Evil Twin Brewing, found in 2010. What's interesting is they kind of remind me of Nomad Cigar Company. They don't have a facility of their own. They brew through, they have a recipe that they brew through other breweries. Mm-hmm. Currently at 10 different breweries in 6 different countries. This particular beer is brewed out of Two Road Brewing Company out of Connecticut, which is Stratford, Connecticut. Don't go harassing them about the beer because it's annoying. They don't know anything. They won't. They're not the distribution arm for Evil Twin Brewing. If you have questions about Evil Twin Brewing, go to Evil Twin Brewing. Don't go to Two Road Brewing. Anyways, that's my story. This is considerably thicker than the first one. I would say almost twice as dense to my eye. No freezing to the glass, even though we're not moving up very high in ABV. We're going from 6.4 to 7. Unfortunately, no other specs on the website about this, which is kind of a drag. I kind of love to geek out about the malts and the hops and IBUs and all that shenanigans, but sadly, that's all I got. Now, this is a different style than the first beer because this is an oatmeal stout, and I loves me some oatmeal stouts. Mm-hmm. So, I'm just trying to... Yeah, I definitely got some. Oh man, actually the nose on this, it's kind of sweet, syrupy. It smells like a burned or a toasted toffee with some kind of espresso notes underneath that. So that sounds right up my alley. I'm going to take some sips and let Trippy Trent here
talk about
the second beer tonight.
So my second, I know, is one of your standbys as well, which is 10-50.
Oh yeah, son.
From Oscar Blues, their Imperial Stout.
Get some.
Oh, it's just a great stout. I went out looking for their barrel-aged version this week, and I called a couple places, and I missed the boat completely.
Release
Everybody's
the barrel
out.
Barrel-aged. Release it. Come on.
Oh, they released it. I just
release
missed
it. Release it again.
Yeah, they should release it again. I'll get some next year, I'm sure. Oscar Blues, for people who don't know, they're in Colorado. They've got kind of a really interesting story. They were really the first big craft brewery to start shipping cans. And then if you've ever been in a tap house and seen a growler, it's a 32-inch can that they fill up like a growler. They have a machine that blasts out all the oxygen with nitrogen and then caps it. And so you've got a 32-ounce can of fresh beer. They actually worked with Ball. They're the company that makes cans and bottles and jars and all that. And they helped invent it. So if you ever see a growler machine or a growler around, you can thank Oscar Blues for that because they definitely pioneered that.
Making cans cool again, Oscar Blues.
Oh, they really did. Cans just weren't cool for years, and now they are. But back to the beer.
I blame Miller.
Yeah, probably. It's 10.5 ABV, so it's a little bit of a heater.
Oh, yeah.
65 IBUs, which is real bitter for a stout. But with this stout, the sweetness and the darkness tends to sort of, smooth out the flavor a little bit. So it doesn't taste like an IPA. You still get the flavor and the consistency of a stout, that viscousness that we were talking about. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to take some sips of this and see how it pairs.
So I'm going to talk about my No Hero Oatmeal Stout. And she good. It's... So I've had Evil Twin Brewing stuff in the past where on some of their stouts it was way too sweet. This is kind of an interesting flavor profile because it starts out super sweet. I mean, you got that immediate sort of almost like a milk stout sweetness to it. But what's nice about it is it falls off immediately and you're left with some espresso, more like rich coffee notes. Now, it does have a nice lingering flavor to it, which I expect with a stout. So between draws, I'm kind of smacking my tongue, smacking my lips. And I'm still getting, that cocoa and some coffee, and it's really coating the mouth, which is very satisfying. So I find that, you can take a sip, and you can take 2 or 3 puffs, and you're still good. You don't need to take another sip again. This is probably a great beer if you want to have a beer to kind of nurse throughout the evening. This is probably a great choice because you won't be pounding, or at least you shouldn't be pounding one of these bad boys. So I'm going to take some more sips here. Let you wax poetic about the first beer.
So this is a much better pairing than the first. You do get a lot of those roasty, malty kind of flavors. It's got a considerable hop backbone to contrast that, but it's not, it doesn't taste like an IPA in any way. It's really, the hoppiness mixes really well with the bitterness of the coffee kind of chocolatey kind of flavors. And left on your palate, the finish is very, very bitter, but it's not hoppy bitter. It tastes more like the bitterness of a really strong coffee, which is great.
Nice.
And it's got that viscous quality that you only get in good stouts, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm kind of swirling the stout around in my mouth to kind of warm it up. And I'm getting, I'm actually getting a lot more cedar out of this Epicabano than, I'm not sure, maybe it's been a while since I smoked one, but I think I'm getting a lot more cedar out of it. And I think that's due to the sweetness from the stout, maybe running over some of the spices on the cigar. But good pairing on number two, much better than I think number one. I think we've rapidly established this cigar, not a good choice if you want to go with something very bitter. Not really the flavor profile that matches up.
Yeah, it doesn't really have that spice to stand up to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you're going with something like Don Pepin, anything My Father, mm-hmm. you know, that's crazy, crazy spicy, excuse me, that would have gone really well. And I'm not actually, just for the record, I'm not actually coughing on my cigar smoke. I'm actually coughing because it's so cold. My lungs are freezing and I'm talking so much that I don't have a chance for my lungs to warm up. Normally when it gets this cold, I'd actually wear a face covering because it does get so cold that your lungs start to hurt. So just a heads up. Sorry about
Can't really loss. Drink and smoke with that though.
Mm-hmm. So this is a good pairing. This is, again, this is kind of what I was hoping for. It's got that, like I said, the caramel, the coffee, the espresso. That 1050, it is one of my favorite stouts. I think that's one of the few stouts I've rated a 5 out of 5 star stout. Is
yeah,
that the
I
first
think
time you're having that bad boy, or have you had that before?
No, I've had it before, but I think I forgot how balanced it is. It's really the perfect combination of sweet, bitter, and roasty, and bitter from hops. I mean, bitter. It's bitter from the malts and bitter from the hops. But it's a really good kind of nicely rounded flavor and deceivingly strong.
Yeah,
you wouldn't guess this is 10.5.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about strength on cigars, and we've talked about, you know, strength versus body, and strength versus body on spirits is sometimes tough to sort of wrap in the same context. Mm-hmm. But I've definitely had some really high ABV scotches that drank like they are 10 or 12% lower ABV.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, the 1050, she's a ninja. Like, it'll sneak up on you. I mean, you drink a third of that and you're thinking, oh, I'm good. And it really hits you. It can really hit you hard. If you have two 1050s, I mean, that's.
Oh, yeah.
That can rock
your night.
Socks. Yeah. Yeah, it's going really well. I still haven't gotten any spice out of the cigar. Profile is still quite creamy.
Nope. Yeah, very again, creamy, woody.
Woody. There's a little bit of earthiness, although the earthiness kind of gets run over by the sweetness and the malt character of the stouts. Mm-hmm. But it's good. She good. And just remind our audience, you are tuned in to Sharing Our Pairings episode 94, Who Let the Dog Stout? I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon, joined by my co-host, Trippy Trent. We are broadcast live on CigarFederation.com and, of course, picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Wherever you are in the world, hope you are staying safe. Thanks so much for your sacrifice keeping us safe so we can be foolish and drink and smoke in the cold or warm weather, wherever we might be in the world. And today, unfortunately, it's cold. So I'm going to take a couple more puffs. I'm very excited about my last stout tonight.
I am, too. I've got something a little that we don't get in this neck of the woods too often.
I love getting my hands on beers like that. Limited time offerings or offerings that aren't normally in your area or new to your area.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Evil Twin, that No Hero, very good. I definitely have a soft spot for oatmeal stouts. St. Ambrose up here does a really good oatmeal stout, but they also do a Russian Imperial stout. And I've put one of the Russian Imperial stouts down for 2 or 3 years, and it just comes out phenomenal. Very, very enjoyable. But this last offering, this was recommended to me by my local bottle shop, Kensington Wine Market. This is the old Rasputin Russian Imperial Stout. Now, curiously, I had never heard of this particular stout before, so that's kind of a shame, because I was told that this was kind of at the forefront of the stout revolution and got a lot of awards. In fact, got the 2014 World Beer Championship gold medal and at 94 points, which you'd think if it's a gold medal, it would have been like 97 or 98, but maybe they just score really tough.
They must be pretty harsh.
Harsh. So this is from North Coast Brewing Company, located in Fort Bragg, California's, I think it's Medicino Coast. I assume it's got to be some Espanol, so I don't know if that's Medicino or Medicino, but that's Fort Bragg, opened in 1988, and opened and by president and co-founder Mark Rudrick, I think is how his name is pronounced. Anyways, they're exporting to 47 states and now to Europe and the Pacific Rim, so widely available, very popular. And this is a big bad boy. I'm going to hold that up for our live listeners, for our podcast and audio listeners here. It is black. It is thick. I mean, you look at this, you know this is a stout. It's thick. It's viscous. It's very motor oil-ish, although not maybe to the same level as your 1050, but certainly up there. And 9% ABV and kicking the IBUs all the way up to 75.
Yeah, that's a serious stout.
I don't know if the IBUs are so high because you need to balance out the sweetness or what the deal is, but 75 IBUs, I mean, if you took the malts away, this bad boy would be Imperial IPA.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it smells fantastic. I'm actually getting a lot of hop quality off the nose for what I can smell anyways in the cold weather. So I'm going to take some sips and... Trip, I'm going to let you talk about your third and final
one
of the night.
So my last one is another one that, like Old Rasputin, is very well known as a stout, which is Dragon's Milk. It's one of the better known bourbon stouts. Maybe not as well known as the Goose Island Bourbon County, but it's a very good stout that is, of course, aged in bourbon barrels. An interesting thing about New Holland, who's the brewery that makes this, is they actually make their own bourbon and then use those barrels rather than, as most companies would do, they buy old bourbon barrels from somebody.
That's really cool.
They actually make their own bourbon and you can buy that. And then they age this in those bourbon barrels. Then they actually have a aged in those bourbon aged beer aged barrels. So they have a beer aged bourbon and a bourbon aged beer.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, it's great. They're in Holland, Michigan. Is that what MI is? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think that's Michigan.
I believe they're in Michigan. And this is one that we never got out here. It was impossible to find. And just in the last 2 weeks, they actually started carrying it in some of the stores here. I'm not sure how permanent that's going to be, but I bought a couple bottles just so I'd be safe.
Yeah, I mean, when you find something like that that's not readily available in your area, even if I'm tasting it blind, I'll probably buy a couple bottles, you know, one just to try and then one to kind of resample and make sure I had a proper sampling the first go around. So I'm going to give you a chance here to take some sippies. So I'm not sure if this last stout is really what I was going for. I think I made some bad choices tonight for my pairings, and that happens because, you know, even though we're experts, we're not experts.
No.
Even though we do this for a living. No, we don't do this for a living. So even though we do this live on the internet, unfortunately, sometimes we make some bad pairing decisions. And tonight, I think I made some bad pairing decisions. Now, this is 75 IBUs, and I was kind of expecting the malty quality of this beer to run over the IBUs. No, this is extremely hop forward. It's good. It's very,
really?
Very good. Yeah, it's extremely hop forward. If you took the malts away, this would absolutely be an Imperial IPA, like hands down, because the first thing I get when I taste this is all the hoppy quality.
I might have to pick up a couple bottles of that because I don't recall it being that hoppy.
Again, it could be.
Or at least coming off that hoppy on the palate.
Yeah, it could very well be the temperature in which I'm drinking this because...
No, that's again, actually very true.
Yeah, really not ideal for the... And I can't really warm it up, unfortunately, because my hands are freezing too. But I would say that the IPA, the IBUs in this really kind of gives it almost an astringent quality. So I get a little bit of the hoppiness up front, and then I get a little bit of malts, but the malts are really being run over by the hops. And then in the middle of the tasting profile, I really get this like quite bitter, astringent quality to it.
Mm-hmm. Now this one, on the other hand, is only 23 IBUs. So it's
nice.
It's sweet, it's malty, it's got that bourbon sweetness and the just the bourbon character that you expect out of a bourbon-aged stout. And it doesn't have any of the hops running over at all. It's great.
Just rub it in my face, why don't you?
Sorry.
Maybe
we just happen to go polar opposite with that.
Yeah, pairing. I mean, thinking back to some of my pairing choices tonight, maybe what I should have gone is away from the Imperial Stout quality and more towards the Milk Stout quality. Although, mm-hmm. you know, the risk with that is that a lot of times you get Milk Stouts that, because, you know, and Rob's talked about this before on the show before, that because the milk solids, the milk lactose does not ferment the bacteria, the yeast that's in there does not feed off the lactose. It's non-fermentable.
Yeah, so you end up with a lot of sweetness.
You'll end up with a lot of sweetness. Now, that might have been too much for this cigar.
I think it would have been. For a Habano cigar, this is actually surprisingly medium-bodied.
Very medium-bodied. Yeah.
I mean, usually,
go ahead.
Usually you expect some spice out of Habano, and this has almost none.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the word I would use for this is balance. Like mm-hmm. for Habano, the wrapper is very sweet. A lot of nuttiness now getting into almost the middle third here. Cedar's kind of giving up a little bit. The earthiness is kind of going away.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. I mean, this would be an excellent gateway cigar for someone who's maybe a light to medium bodied smoker looking to get into something a little bit more full bodied, but doesn't want to be blown away with spices and pepper. And this is a great choice because this is not, like you said, it does not have a ton of, like even retrohaling, and I'm retrohaling probably every other puff and really not getting, because I don't have a cold, I'm really not getting
any pepper. Well, and I'm not anymore either. Now that I've gotten the first few through, I'm picking up more of just kind of cedary notes and kind of, as you said before, burnt caramel. That's a good descriptor for this one.
Yeah, I find, I mean, for people out there who maybe think of popcorn balls, and you have a popcorn ball and the caramel on there isn't really fresh caramel, it's more of a toasted caramel, and you kind of get that, you know, it's like if you have brown sugar in a frying pan or something like that. That's kind of the quality that I think of in my mind. Now what I'm going to do, because we do have a little bit of time here, is then work my way back through the three, because, you know, one of the things we do on the show is we do typically three pairings, sometimes four pairings when we're crazy, and that's really a lot for your palate to digest. I mean, normally when I do a whiskey tasting, what I do is I leave some in the glass and go back to it, because oftentimes your palate just doesn't have the time to acclimate to those flavors or the aromas. So I'm going to take some puffs. I'm going to start back with my Deschutes Obsidian Stout and kind of work my way down. And maybe you can talk about how that last pairing's going for you while I do that.
I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm not sure I'm ready to. This is a great... This is the first time I've ever had this beer with a cigar. I've had it on its own before, but I've never had it actually with a cigar. And I think that this stout pairs perfectly with cigars. It's not overly hoppy, which can sometimes blow out your palate a little bit, and you're not tasting all the flavors of the cigar. But it's nice. It's full-bodied, I guess. We were talking about body before.
Yep, body versus
alcohol. Body. It's definitely got some body, but it's not over the top. It's more of a sweet, roasty, smooth, mellow kind of flavor with a little booziness from the bourbon.
Going back to the Obsidian Stout, at only 55 IPUs, what I'm immediately reminded of is that how sweet it is compared to the second and third stout that I've had tonight. Although the No Hero Stout is quite sweet, the Obsidian Stout, I think, comes a little bit more sweet forward now. And I think, again, the 55 IBUs are really balanced very nicely in that, because it's not hop forward.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back to this No Hero, which I think may end up being my pairing of the night. only because of the choices I've made, not because of the brew. And you can see, if you can see that for our listeners there, it is in fact, even at 7% ABV, it is in fact freezing to the glass, which is not optimal.
Not optimal. Yeah, I think that's definitely a problem with tonight for these particular stouts that we've chosen. Because everything we've chosen except for this Dragon's Milk has been pretty hoppy. Mm-hmm. And hops definitely come out when it's colder, when the beverage is colder. So that's why like people like IPAs ice cold, because then you really get that hop flavor and you don't get as much of the sweetness. And having beer that's negative 5 degrees probably, all you're going to taste is the hops.
Yeah, and I think definitely in all fairness to these brewers, what I'm going to do is taste these after the fact, let them warm up to at least room temperature, maybe a little under room temperature, and resample them, which, you know, it's going to take some time for them to warm up. But definitely on the No Hero, the sweetness is definitely coming through a lot more than the Deschutes Obsidian or the North Coast Old Rasputin.
Oh, yeah. And that Old Rasputin, again, I love it, but I could see drinking it at this temperature not being ideal for the tasting experience.
Yeah, certainly if it was up to me, I would absolutely be requesting some, 60-degree weather out here, but
yeah,
sadly, no.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, it's still... And again, I really think it's a temperature thing, because I can tell. I really just can't get any of the malt character off this the Imperial Stout, and I should, as an Imperial Stout, I absolutely should. I mean, the whole point of a Russian Imperial Stout is to be big, bold, and bad, and really all I can taste is the IBUs. So I don't think this is the optimal tasting environment, and really that's on me. But I do have to comment that, given the temperature here. Given just how freaking cold it is, I have not had to relight this Epic Habano at all.
Oh, yeah. My burn's razor sharp.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I think I've cracked the cap by chewing on it, but, you know, the cigar's still burning. Well, first of all, it's still lit, which is remarkable. Second of all, it's burning very, very cleanly with no touch-ups and no lighting, so relighting. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and same here. I mean, I haven't had to relight at all since we lit up at the beginning of the show. Which for me is actually kind of a surprise, because I tend to talk too much and have to relight constantly.
Yeah, I find that too. Even when I'm doing a review, really my goal when I'm doing a cigar review is to smoke as slowly as possible, ultimately really to the point where my cigar is almost going out, which is why my smoking times tend to be, I think, a little bit longer than a lot of other people.
Yeah, I do the same thing. If you don't have to relight it, you're smoking too fast. Mm-hmm. I'm going back to this coconut stout, and while I still don't know that I would consider it a stout, I would really call this a porter, because the only real difference between the two is the mouthfeel. Mm-hmm. And this one has the mouthfeel and the flavor of a porter, but I am getting a little bit more of the rum and a little bit more of the coconut.
I mean, I do love an Oscar Blues, just to give some love out to Oscar Blues, because really, they're one of my favorite brewers. They do have that Death by Coconut.
Oh, I almost picked up a couple cans of that.
Have you had that before?
Oh, yeah. I love
it. So good.
I actually, I had a business trip in February to London, and we went to some little pub in Manchester, and they actually had Death by Coconut. They had more American beers than they did British beers.
That's hilarious.
It was crazy, because they had like Three Floyds, they had Founders, they had stuff that I can't even get in Oregon.
Step up your game, America. Start shipping to Trip.
Seriously.
What the hell?
Well, we are getting Founders this coming February, which I'm pretty excited about, because so far the only Founders I've had was in Manchester or stuff that people have sent me.
Nice. Well, just around our audience, you are tuned in to Sharing Our Pairings, a very cold edition, episode 94, Who Let the Dogs Stout, currently recording on December 14th. Christmas is rapidly coming up. Hard to believe it's really in, 10 days. I probably should finish my Christmas shopping. But I just want to thank all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners who are out there, hopefully warmer than I am. And, of course, all our podcast listeners who are out there in droves all over the world. And truly all over the world. We have lots of listeners from Germany, Sweden, Finland, the UK, Australia, Canada, and really everywhere in between. Lots of people tuning in now from Nicaragua, probably because they're, drinking some rum and at their local factory or whatever and checking out the show, and I appreciate that very much. I really mistimed the show tonight because normally we'd go right up until the end of our our segment, but sadly I've not done that, mostly because I think I'm going faster than I normally would.
You're trying to get it over with.
It's cold. I'm not going to lie. It's cold. Fortunately, next week when we do our show, it'll be, I'm trying to think in freedom degrees, it'll be like 27 degrees warmer next week.
No.
That's about what it is
right now here, and I'm freezing. And I can see my breath in my garage.
Like it's 27 degrees Fahrenheit where you are right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, for me, I'm really good down to about 10 degrees. And after that, that's when it starts to get really, really cold. Anything over 20 for me is, because I've been doing this so many years now, sitting out in the cold, anything above 20 is fine. Although I do find for Cigar Profile, and I have to, again, give some love to this Epic Habano, sometimes it is really tough to pick out flavors in a cigar when it's this freaking cold out. But not having that problem. Very balanced, very sweet. I mean, it's really actually hard to believe this is an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper because maybe it's just what I'm used to currently in the market. A lot of Ecuadorian Habano wrappers and the blends that they're paired with, very spicy, very peppery. And this is not that at all. It's just so medium, like perfectly right in the smack dab medium.
Yeah, it's a really good cigar, but it's not a great cigar for stouts.
Yeah. And I think I almost wonder, because again, I know he's got the Dean Parsons from Epic has the Habano, or the Corojo, pardon me, and the Corojo does have a lot of juice to it, like in the sense it's got some zip on the pepper and spice scale. So maybe that would have been a better choice to go with these stouts. But I think I'm going to have to say, for me tonight, given the environment, and again, I'm going to have to go back. After the show is done, I'm going to sit down with these beers and kind of let them warm up and resample, because I think my palate is all jacked from this temperature.
Well, but, I mean, maybe we should just go inside and grab some Epic Corojos and start over.
Yeah, maybe we should just start over. I'll just toast myself in the oven and warm up first. or we can do a Redux show where we'll bust out. Because I know I've got, I think I've got at least three or four Epic Habanos, three or four Corojos, three or four Maduros. I know I've gone through the Maduros like crazy, and I've actually got one of the new Epic San Andreas. Ooh. And I'm hoping to get it in before the end of the year so I can see how it tallies up on my top list of cigars for the year. Because, I love San Andreas, and I love Dean's blending profile, so I'm kind of looking forward to that bad boy, but... I'm gonna go back and take some more sips here, but I think so far this No Hero is kind of my pick of the night. Where are you at with your pick of the night?
I went back and I tried all the others, and the Dragon's Milk is just such a fantastic beer to go with cigars because it doesn't blow out this cigar at all. You really still get the cedary, sort of a little bit spicy flavors of the cigar coming through. And the beer, even on its own, is just fantastic.
Easy pick of the night. Now, when you say Dragon's Milk, automatically I immediately think, right, it's going to be a milk stout. Is that a milk stout, or is that a regular, do they classify it on the bottle?
No, they don't classify it as a milk stout at all. It's not a milk stout. The Dragon's Milk, the name Dragon's Milk is just... I guess because it's so good, it's like the milk that comes from a dragon. It's kind of a silly name, but it really is a spectacular beer.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want that job. Milking a dragon doesn't exactly sound very fun to me.
Oh, no. If you've seen Game of Thrones, you can't even get close to them, even when they're chained up.
Yeah, you're not getting eaten.
You're not getting close enough to milk them.
Unless you're
Sounds like a tough job.
So, with that, I think we're going to have an early wrap tonight because I am freezing. But I'd say Just thinking out loud, I think this Epic Habano would have gone really well with some rums.
Yes, absolutely.
I probably could have gone with some more balanced bourbon, something that's not really spicy or peppery. But, you know, I think this would have been good with some bourbons. What other pairings can you think of off the top of your head that maybe would have been a little bit better tight?
Actually, I think it would go really well with, like, a Speyside Scotch.
Oh, nice.
I think that would be just a fantastic pairing with this cigar.
Not really the weather for a Speyside Scotch, but
no, not at all.
Yeah, I think something with maybe a little bit of heather or floral characteristics.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. So we'll be back next week. I think we're agreed that we're going to do a Tuesday show rather than a Wednesday show. Normally we're live Wednesday, but next week, of course, with Christmas coming up, we're going to do a little bit of shuffling, a little bit of rescheduling. So you'll see that on our show page at CigarFederation.com. We're going to have a Tuesday night show at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. It'll be a little bit warmer for me. Hopefully not crazy cold for you, Trip.
We'll see.
But we'll see you next week. This week, of course, there's no cigar chat because Logan is on location. And unfortunately, we don't have a guest. So that's just how it goes. This is Christmas season. I apologize. But thanks very much for all our live listeners. Thanks very much for all our podcast listeners out there. We'll be back next week. And as we say on Sharing Our Pairings, drink better, but drink less.